While we are here this morning, truly all of this is to worship our amazing God. We've been in a series over the last few weeks. It's week 10 already. Can you believe that? In a series that we're just working through the book of 1 John. And it's been an amazing book. It's been an amazing journey through this. And we're nearing the end here. I told you last week when we had our message last week, one of the things that happens in the book of 1 John is that first 2 to 3 chapters, it's a lot of new, fresh content. And then in chapters 4 and 5, it starts to repeat some things, some kind of common themes, right? And so as we wrapped up last week, we got through chapter 3, we're moving into chapter 4. And I want to give you kind of just 2 really big kind of general cliff notes on chapter 4 and encourage you this week to go home and to read chapter 4 for yourself. Because what we're actually going to do is we're going to jump to chapter 5 this week. But in chapter 4, here's what you have. You have in verses 1 through 6, you have John reminding us about this spirit of the Antichrist that is in the world. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Now you can go back and watch that message. It's in chapter 2. We looked at that. That there is a spirit, a force that is working against the gospel of Jesus Christ in our world. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of how that's working so that we can work against that. Right? And then number 2 in chapter 4, as we get into verses 7 through 21, it talks about the way that we are to love the world around us. This is a huge theme throughout 1 John. You are, as a follower of Jesus Christ, your number one command, the number one thing that we are to be obedient to is that we are to love the way that Christ loved us. And so as we get into week 10 here, and start to work into chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 1 through 5 today. I encourage you, if you have a Bible with you this morning, open it up, join us, read with us. I have a question as we start today. And this is the question that this passage of scripture brought to my mind this week as I was studying this out. Have you ever felt defeated? Have you ever felt defeated? Like from one moment to the next, this day or this week or this year or this decade or whatever, however long it might be, I just feel beaten down. I feel like no matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, I can't quite seem to get ahead. I feel like no matter how hard I try, there's this lack of joy. There's this lack of peace. Maybe it's because of some sin in our life that we're trying to overcome and we just can't seem to get over it. Maybe it's an external circumstance. Something is going on in our life that is testing us over and over and over again. Maybe it's a relational thing. Something going on between you and your spouse, you and your kids, a friend in your neighborhood, somebody, a coworker that you work with. And at the end of the day, you just feel like no matter what you do, you're defeated. I think for many of us, maybe today, maybe it's been in the past, but maybe it's today. You're sitting here today and you're feeling like that because of something in your life. As we jump into week 10 here, I want to talk about that. I believe John wants to teach us something today about what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus and how our mindset should be when it comes to the challenges that we face in this life. See, every week when I get up here, church, I want you to know this. Every single week when I get up here, the number one thing that is on my mind is how can I encourage the people of this church? How can I encourage the body of Christ today? And sometimes that comes from challenging you, and sometimes it comes from just simply looking at the word of God and saying, look at how faithful God is as we look at this. And today is going to be one of those days. I believe that the text that we're going to read today could be life-changing for somebody in here. And I'm telling you, every time I get up here, and maybe this is me being overly dramatic, but to me, this is life or death. Every single time we come in here and we gather and we open the word of God, to me, as I teach this and preach this, it's life or death. There is an enemy. We have an enemy. And we've seen this throughout 1 John, who wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. And every time I get up here, here's what I'm thinking about. Absolutely not. Not today, Satan. You're not going to do that to my people. Right, I am the shepherd. I've been called to pastor this group of people. And I'm gonna do everything that I can to make sure that you are living, and this is the word I want us to focus on today, in victory. As Jesus followers, do you believe this today? That you have been called to a life of victory. We have not been called to a life of being defeated and feeling defeated. I want to look at that today. And so again, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them with me this morning. We're going to jump back into 1 John here, chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Let's look at what John has to say about this. This has just been so encouraging to me this week. Everyone who believes, he says, that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. He says, this is how we know that we love the children of God. By loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, he says, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, scripture has a lot to say about who we are as followers of Christ, who we are as Christians. And if you look through the whole of scripture, there's some themes over and over again, right? We are believers. We are adopted sons and daughters. We are heirs. We are saved, right? We are servants. There's all these different identities, if you will, that are given to us when we become a follower of Jesus. And John wants to give us another one today. And I don't know, maybe you've never thought of yourself in this way before. John wants us to give us another one. He says this, you are an overcomer. That is who you are now as a follower of Jesus Christ. You are an overcomer. And now this word overcome, I love this. In the original Greek language, this was written and is this word nikaio. Nikaio, it means to conquer. Right? You are a conqueror as someone who is now bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're a conqueror. Nikaio. There's a really famous brand. Probably, it might be maybe the most famous brand in the world. It's the brand Nike that this actually comes, Nike comes from this word, this original root, right? To conquer, to have victory, right? There's a goddess in the Greek mythology, Nike, the goddess of victory. That's where that came from, right? And so what this word conquer means in the time that it was written, we have to understand this is so important, context so important. In the time that this was written, here's what the Greeks believed, the Greco-Roman culture believed. Only someone who was a god could truly have victory, total, complete victory in life. Human beings aren't capable of that kind of victory. Only the gods. And so when John uses this word, don't miss this today. What he's actually saying is, in light of this cultural understanding, it is stunning for John to say this, that you, as a human being, have the ability to have the kind of victory that is reserved only for the supernatural, for the gods. And so when John said this, this would have been hard for people to understand. How is that possible? How can we have that kind of victory? How can we overcome in that way when we are merely human beings? And that's the question I want to answer this morning. How do we overcome like that? Well, number one, here's what John tells us. This is what the Word of God says. Everyone who believes, in other words, who has faith, right? Who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's who has victory. That's who overcomes. Why? Why is that? How is that possible? Well, I want us to see a couple things here. Faith is the key that secures this ultimate victory, right? Belief in the Son leads to overcoming. Now, the question is, what does that mean exactly? What have we overcome? Number one, we've overcome death. And I think sometimes we, like, it's so easy, isn't it, to just go through our life. You've got your day to day. You've got your job to do. Maybe you've got a family to take care of, whatever it might be. And I think as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we forget this. Do we recognize this? We were on a path to death and destruction. And there was nothing we could do about it until Jesus intervened. And once he did that, he says this, you have overcome death for good. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 54. It says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, we have victory today because Jesus Christ conquered the grave. He didn't just die for us. He was resurrected for us. Sometimes I think we stop at that. Yes, Jesus died for me, absolutely. But do we recognize he rose again? Right? The death means nothing if he doesn't rise again. Jesus Christ rose again. And when he did that, he defeated death once and for all. I love this imagery, this language. Where, oh, death, is your sting? Jesus on the cross takes the sting out of death. There's no more reason to worry about it, to have any fear about death. And there are so many people in this world, and this breaks my heart. They're terrified of death. They're terrified of what would happen to them if they died today or tomorrow. Jesus offers this to us freely, this gift. You have overcome, he says. But not only have we overcome death, not only do we get this amazing inheritance in heaven one day, he says this, you have overcome Satan. I love this. Romans 16, 20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Amen? Is that not good news? Is not that something that you can cling to on a daily basis? I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life, I feel like Satan is winning. God's word says, Satan has already been defeated. And the things that you are facing in your life, because of Christ, he has no power over you. He has no power in your life. He has already been defeated, right? The future is secure. The king has won. He has no power. And what Satan is doing, and I think this is, we need to remember this. What Satan is doing, that word Satan, his name, do you know what it means? It means the slanderer, the accuser. And what Satan does day and night is he goes to our Heavenly Father and he tries to accuse us. Look at all this sinful disobedience they're doing down there. They don't deserve to be in heaven with you. Send them to hell with me. And he accuses and he accuses and he accuses and he takes all the things that we've ever done and he just keeps on throwing it out there. This is what the word of God tells us. When we stand before the judge and all those accusations are made, Jesus steps in front of us and what God sees is Jesus Christ, the pure and perfect and spotless Lamb, standing in front of us. And we are seen as perfect. Even though we're not, even though we don't deserve it, that's what Jesus does for us on the cross. We don't have to worry about the accusations anymore. I'm so grateful for that. We have overcome Satan because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Not only that, we have won victory. We have overcome the trappings of this world. Anybody ever feel trapped by this world? And we ever feel like, man, there's just so much evil going on in our world, all around us. This is what Titus 2, 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Yeah, there's evil in the world. Yeah, there's temptation every single day. But do we know that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us, giving us power over those things? If we will simply lean into that, stop trying to do it on our own power. He says, I will help you overcome all of that. Right? He says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Right? There's a desire that's put inside of us. There's a wisdom that's put inside of us to say no to destructive things that will destroy our lives. We have overcome those things. That's who we are as followers of Jesus. Finally, we have overcome life's challenges. You know, there are certain things in life. We all recognize this, right? I have been a part of every bad decision I've ever made. And so have you, right? I was there for that. And I recognize I have made sinful choices and I've done some stupid things. But I also recognize sometimes things just happen to us that are out of our control. And it's easy. Isn't it so easy to just be like, God, why? What's going on here? How am I going to get through this? Why do I have to continue to struggle through this? Man, listen to this hope. Listen to this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. We might be going through something really tough. We do not lose heart, though. Though outwardly, we are wasting away. And boy, isn't that the truth as we look around our world. I was at a funeral on Friday. And every time I go to a funeral, man, it just reminds me of my mortality, of how quickly this life is going by and how my body at 40 is just breaking down, man. It's not the same as it was 10 years ago. And 10 years from now, it'll be breaking down even more. Right? There's disease and natural disaster, and I mean, there's so many things in our world, right? Violence. I mean, there's so many things that we could look to. The world is in chaos. Outwardly, it's wasting away, and yet, he says this. Oh, this is an amazing promise. This is an amazing hope. Yet, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. That's who we are. That's who we are. For our light and momentary troubles, he says, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. As we stay faithful through those difficult times, there is an eternal glory waiting us. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Church, come on, somebody needs to hear this today. Whatever you're facing right now in this moment, it is going to pass. That's a promise. It is going to pass, whatever it might be. I love sports. I'll give you a sports analogy, right? There are times when you're watching a game and a team is down by 50 or whatever. They're getting crushed, right? But there's this recognition of that team that if we just keep fighting, we just stay the course. In the end, maybe we fight back and maybe we win. As Christians, there's no might. There's no might. No matter what the scoreboard says right now, this is what we know. When the game clock strikes zero, we win. And I'm telling you right now, when you are going through the fire, right? We sang a song this morning. There is another in the fire. When you are going through the fire, to know without any lack of assurance, without any lack of confidence, that this too shall pass, and that even if it doesn't pass until my last breath on this earth, what awaits me is glorious. That changes things. That changes the way you work through every situation in your life, does it not? You want to talk about being an overcomer. That's how we overcome, church. We have that kind of perspective. And so that's number one, above everything else. Why are we overcomers? Who are the overcomers? The overcomers are those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, because it is our faith that holds us together in him, not in ourselves, not in our good works, not in anything that we have accomplished in this life, but what Jesus Christ has done for us. And what he accomplishes is finished, it's done, and there's nothing that can take that away from us. We need to know that, live that every single day. We walk out of here in confidence today, church, knowing that we are victorious because of Christ. But then secondly, and I spent a lot of time reflecting on this one this week. John says something else here. We are overcomers because of Jesus Christ, because he is the ultimate conqueror. But we're also overcomers because we keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. And that second piece is so critical. We overcome this world, the one that we live in now, the day-to-day, the struggle that we're in, we overcome that because we keep God's commands and we recognize they are not a burden, they are a gift. There are so many people in our world who look at the commands of God and this is what they believe. They're restrictive. They're gonna steal my joy. They're gonna take away my happiness. If I follow the commands of God, I'm gonna be worse off, not better off. John says that's a lie. It's a straight lie from the enemy. That's exactly what he wants you to believe. Don't follow God. Don't follow his commands. Don't listen to his word. If you do that, you're not gonna have a good life. You're gonna live a boring life. You're gonna have all the fun things that you wanna do restricted and taken away from you. John says, no, that's a lie. Don't believe that for a second. There are so many people, and even I see it every day, Christians, who view the commands of God as though they're gonna take from them. The truth is, though, when we don't live God's way, it is a burden. It becomes a tremendous burden. And when we begin to live God's way, there is a weight that is lifted off. Right? Number one, let's talk about this for a second. Right? They're a gift, they're not a burden. Why? Number one, compared to the complicated religious rules of man, Jesus offers a simpler way. Because every person on this planet, whether they want to admit it or not, before they come to an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is what they're doing. They are trying to work their way to heaven. They are trying to work their way. Be a good person. And if I'm a good person, then at the end of this whole thing, I'm gonna be good to go. And then let's look back at scripture. Look at the Old Testament. Look at the Pharisees. Look at the Jewish culture of the day. I mean, they were weighted down with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rules and laws and just ridiculous things that were just making life such a burden. And then along comes Jesus Christ. And he revolutionized the world. He revolutionized the way we think about religion. I love this verse, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Many of you have heard this before, but I want to read it to you in the context of what we're talking about today, because I think it has so much power. He says this, "Come to me," he says, "all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is what Jesus Christ offers us. Are you tired? Are you worn out from all of the religious things that you've got to do to continue to be made right with God in your heart, to feel like you are something, to feel as though you've earned it? If you're worn out by that, this is what he says, come to me. If you're burdened by that, if you're heavy laden by that, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you because my burden is light. And I think that's an important statement. Jesus does not say we will not have any burden at all, does he? He just simply says that his burden is light. Why is that? We need to see this today, church. Why is his burden light? Because it is a burden with a purpose. Don't miss that today. It's a burden with a purpose. And that purpose is to live in obedience to him, to be set free, knowing we are saved by the gospel and not saved by our works, to simply just pursue him and follow him and love the people around us with everything that we've got. And to be set free from that thinking of it's all about what I do. Compared to the complicated religious rules of man, Jesus offers a simple way. And there are many Christians, I see this, I feel like every day. You've come to faith, you know intellectually what the gospel says, but it has not taken root in your heart. And you are still living as though you've got to work your way into his good grace. And you don't. Please hear me that today. Hear that from me today. So that's number one. That's why it's a gift. Jesus makes it simple. But number two, it's a gift because of what Jesus did for us. We want to live in a new way. And that's a gift. Big time. Right, we begin to want to pursue God and live the way he's called us to live, not because of fear that if we don't do it, we're not going to make it to heaven, but because we simply recognize the amazing grace that God has poured out on us. And we love him. It brought to mind, as I was thinking about this week, there's a story in the Old Testament of a guy by the name of Jacob and a young woman named Rachel. And in that story, Jacob desperately wants to marry Rachel. He goes to his father-in-law, Rachel's father, and says, hey, I want to marry your daughter. He says, you'll work for me for 7 years and then you can have her. And so Jacob works for 7 long years. I mean, 7 years, that's a long time. That's love right there. 7 years. He comes back. He's like, hey, it's time. I'm finally ready. To make a long story short, his father-in-law dupes him into having to work another 7 years for Rachel. 14 years. But you know what Jacob says through all of that? It was like the time passed in a moment. He loved her so much that it was nothing to him to have to work that long for her. Why? Because he loved her. He desired her. He desired to please her. And he would have done anything to do that, right? This is why this is a gift. God's commands aren't a burden to those who love him because we just want to please our Heavenly Father. It's not a burden anymore. My question to us today is, do you see it that way? When we read the Word of God, when we see the things he calls us to, the way that he wants us to live, do we actually think like that? Or do we go, man, this is just more stuff I got to do? Or is it like, Lord, oh man, you've done so much for me. I'm so grateful. I just want to please you. I want to honor you. Whew. Takes the burden off. But then finally, his commands, they're not burdensome. Why? Because they lead to a life of fulfillment. And this is the one I was really reflecting on this week. His commands, God's commands, they make us better at life. I mean, come on, anybody in here want to be better at life? Because I stink at it a lot. Right? You want to be better at life? You want to make better decisions? Do you want to have more joy? Do you want to have more peace? Follow the ways of God. Listen to what he says about how we are to live, right? And yet, here's what's happening. And again, I don't think it's just the world. I think it's Christians are doing this too, right? It's like, let me give you this illustration. I don't know how many of you, when you buy the furniture from IKEA or wherever it is that you get it from, Wayfair, and it comes to the house and you got to put it together, right? We know this. There are people who are like, I'm just going to put this together without the directions. And then there are the people who try to follow the directions to the letter of the law, right? I was at one time one of those people who was like, I'm just going to put it together. I'm sure it'll all work out fine. By the time I got to the end of that TV stand or whatever it was that I put together, somehow the legs were on top, upside down, and you know, the drawer didn't fit in properly because it was supposed to be on the right side and I put it on the left side or whatever, right? And you get to the end of that process and you're like, should have just read the stinking directions. And in the exact same way, this is how so many people think. I'm just gonna do it my way. I can figure this out on my own. And what ultimately ends up happening is over and over again, they end up with, metaphorically in their lives, upside down TV stands with the doors put on backwards. Because they simply refused to go to the source of all wisdom, all knowledge, all joy, all peace. It is the word of God. It is an amazing gift that has been given to us. And we treat it like it's just another book on our shelves half the time. And the world oftentimes looks at it as nonsense. I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna follow God's word. Right? But my question as I think about that, as I look at the world around us, I mean, do we see what's going on out there? Do we see the decisions that people are making? Do we see the way that lives are being wrecked over and over again? Because they refuse to listen to the word of God. And unfortunately, I think even us as Christians, sometimes we fall victim to that. This is the truth today. So many people are losing. They are losing big time. They are not overcoming. They are not experiencing victory in their lives because they simply refuse to be obedient to the word of God because they see it as a burden. It's not a burden. It is freeing. And sadly, I think Christians too are missing this. I want to give you three kind of categories here where I feel like I see this all the time. All right, here's how we kind of approach things, right? We think God's command, and this is so appropriate for today, and I honestly didn't even really plan this, but I think this is so important. We think God's command to be generous will be a burden. That's what we think. In our minds, which we tell ourselves. The command that God gives us, and I believe God commands us as his followers to be generous. If we're generous, what's going to happen is I'm going to have less. I'm going to have less stuff. I'm going to have less money. Right? That's what we think. That's our mindset. But here's what we need to understand today. Generosity, here's what it does. It frees us from the endless pursuit of trying to gather and hoard and collect and get stuff for ourselves. And what ultimately? Why do we want that? Because we think it provides security. The more I have, the more secure I am. And yet we all know that's bunk. Money doesn't buy security. I could get cancer today, tomorrow. I could die in a car accident sometime this week. And what about all my stuff then? What about all my money then, right? And so there's this endless pursuit to find security in our stuff. And do you know what that is? A big, fat burden. You don't think it is, but it is. Do you know what's not a burden? Going through life going, I'm open-handed, I'm giving away, I'm not holding on to it, hoarding it, I'm not worried about whether or not God's gonna provide for me because he promises he will. That's a generous mindset, that's a generous spirit. It is a burdenless way of living. How about this one? We think God's command to serve others will be a burden. I mean, it's less time for me, right? Less time for me. Means I'm gonna be burdened. I'm not gonna have the freedom and the joy that I want to do the things that I want to do. If I'm constantly serving others, if I'm always looking out for everybody else, how are my needs getting met? But what we don't understand is when we do that, right, we are living fully in the pride and self-centeredness that does nothing but burden us. And what God is trying to do through that, why does God command us to serve? Why does he command us to be others focused, to be selfless, right? Because it frees us from one of the greatest burdens that we have, our pride. That is such a burden. When everything is about you, When everything is about what you need, come on, you know this. Deep down inside, you know it. You're miserable. It is nothing but a burden. God says, I want to lift that off of you. Take that from you. Finally, how about this one? We think God's command to live sexually pure will be a burden. Once again, it's going to restrict my happiness. It's going to take away from the things that I want, right? But again, look, come on. Keep with me on this track, right? Purity, here's what it does. It frees us from so many things. So many things that are devastating the world around us. I mean, there's obvious things. Just unwanted pregnancy, disease, right? But there's a spiritual component too that our world doesn't want to admit. They want it to be just this animal physical act. They don't want to admit this, that there's a spiritual component to our sexuality. And when we engage in sexual activity outside of marriage, every time we're breaking a spiritual bond. It wasn't meant to be used like that. And it's causing so much devastation in our world. It's not working. And people are burdened by that. It's not freeing in any way, shape, or form. And so what I want you to hear in all of that is this: only obedience gives us victory in this life. That's it. Only obedience is going to give you victory as you navigate the challenges of the day-to-day, as you navigate the temptations. Yes, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, if we put our faith in Christ, we are saved. Our salvation is secure. But I see so many Christians who they stop there. It's like, I believe God wants to help us be overcomers in every situation in our lives. And so today, I want to leave you with a challenge. And I want to leave you with a reminder as we walk out of this place. Christ did not die on the cross for us so that we could continue to live defeated lives. He didn't. He died to make us overcomers in every possible way, in everything in our lives. He died so we could live in complete victory. I love this quote. I've heard this many times. Because I think so many of us are striving continually, thinking we've got to continue to get victory and earn victory. I love this. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Do we believe that? We don't have to fight for victory anymore. Jesus Christ has already accomplished the victory. We're fighting from victory. We're fighting knowing what Jesus has already done. That's what makes you a Christian. You know what Jesus Christ has already done for you. You have the victory already. I love this. This will be the last verse we read this morning. It's a long one, but it is such a powerful one. Every day, here's my challenge to you, church. I want you to march into battle knowing you've already won. And it's a battle. We have to admit that. It's a battle out there. Listen to this from Romans 8, 31 to 39. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And we could just stop right there. If God is for us, church, who in the world can be against us? The answer is no one. No one. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Christ died for us. God gave up his son for us. He loves us. He is going to continue to be gracious to us. He says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen, right? Who's going to slander us? Who's going to accuse us? The answer is no one. Right? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised to life. He didn't just die. He was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Every single day as Satan accuses, he's standing in front of us and saying, uh-uh, this is my child. You don't get to take them. Who shall separate us then, he says this, from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. There is challenges, there is hardship. But he says this in verse 37, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Man, I love that. We're not just conquerors. Did you catch that? We are more than conquerors. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Church, we are more than conquerors today. There's a Greek word. It's a compound word. I gave you nikaio, right? Conqueror. To be more than a conqueror is this word, hupernikaio. And I love that word. Hupernikaio. You are more than a conqueror today. And so you know what my challenge is as we go into battle this week, church? We're going to hupernikaio all up in this place. We're going to hupernikaio till the cows come home. We've got total, complete victory. That's what that means. It is a complete victory. There's no gaps. It's complete. You get to live in that. I get to live in that, right? Our bodies might be failing. Our circumstances might seem dire. We might be dealing with a health crisis. Our relationships might be failing. But we are more than conquerors. Hupernikaio this week. Live in that, church, daily. That's my encouragement to you. And as we close, I don't know who's listening today and doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. But that's where it starts. That's where it starts. If you have wandered through this life and you have felt defeated and you have felt like the choices you've made have led to so much destruction and damage in your life, here's what I want you to hear today. Jesus died so that you could have hupernikaio in every aspect of your life. And you don't have to work for it, and you don't have to earn it, because he already earned it for you. He says, "Come to me. If you're weary, if you're burdened by life, if you're tired of the way you have felt your entire life, which is there's something missing, and I'm just striving, and I'm so tired. Come to me," he says. "Put your faith in me. Put your trust in me as your Savior. And from that moment forward, you're not fighting for victory anymore. You're fighting from it."